It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
All right. All right. We back. Still here in May, you know, chilling, living, you know, waiting on this reluctant spring. But, you know, it is what it is. Feels good to be here on the microphone, you know.
Bird.
I'm just out here. I'm just vamping right now, man. What's good with you?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. You know, just here, you know, sunny spring day, you know, handling my business, minding my business, staying hydrated. Mm-hmm. All of the internet soliloquies of, you know what I'm saying, I'm shooting my regular.
I could dig it.
You know what I'm saying?
Regular pleasantries. Yeah, man, it ain't, it's kind of crisp up here. It's kind of crisp. It was warm yesterday, but it's crisp as fuck. I don't know what's going on with this weather. It is what it is.
It's New York, man. Shit, New York bound to get cold in June and shit, so.
Yeah, I guess so. It is what it is.
At least chilly.
Yeah. Guess it matched the mood. You see the Knicks, it's looking like it's about to be a wrap for them. You know.
It ain't over till it's over.
It ain't over till it's over, but it's looking crazy. But you know, that's the beauty of being a Knicks fan. You manage those expectations.
Right.
But anyway, go New York, until it ain't time to go no more.
So New York, I missed the game last night on New York, but I did see the recap.
Yeah, it didn't look too bad on the recap. I didn't even see the game. I just saw some of the recap. I mean, what I saw, it wasn't crazy. What you think?
Well, I mean, I didn't care about that series, you know what I'm saying? Miami looked like they're going to do something, move on to the next round. You know what I'm saying? I've been on the West for real. Not even on purpose, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Just because by the time I get out of the office and get to the spot, you know what I'm saying, the last game on usually be in the West, you know?
Gotcha, yeah.
So I've been catching those more often than I catch the East Coast ones. So, and then, you know, Ja Morant, even though Memphis in the East, they play in the West.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, LeBron fan, so shit.
Yeah.
It's West right now.
Yeah, I've been following the Lakers Warriors series, and I've been following the Celtics Sixers series. I think those are some of the more exciting games.
I haven't really
seen any of the Nuggets Suns games. I'm not even that interested in them, and I haven't really caught any in it.
The Nuggets supposed to be them ones.
They supposed to be all that, and their team is deep. Like, they got it, supposedly. It's just something about them. It's never been that interesting to me, to be totally honest with you.
What you trying to say? They off-brand?
I ain't saying they off-brand. I never got it. With
damn,
Jokic.
Even when AI was out there? Or
Oh, that was many, many years ago, and even then, no. No, that shit is out there. I don't even think about them. No disrespect. It's never been a team that I've really followed. And they say the kid Jokic is nasty, and I've seen him, because for a while, when you look at him, he built like Fred Flintstone, and you kind of like, how is this man agile at all? But when you see him do what he do, He's smooth with it. Like, it's like, okay, I see what's going on, but still, it's not compelling enough. It's not compelling enough, to be totally honest with you.
Damn.
Yeah, man. Hey,
I think I gotta catch up on him, man, because, you know, shit, whoever come out this West got to go through them, either them or KD now.
We'll see. I mean, they going to get their shine if they shining. You know what I'm saying? So, we'll see, but right now that's not really priority. It's really been these, like I said, the Lakers Warriors and the Sixers Celtics, surprisingly. These Sixers Celtics game have been really like exciting. Mm-hmm. And so have the Warrior Lakers games. For last night was a pretty good game, you know. Shout out to the kid Lonnie Walker the Fourth. That was, you know, that was his look. That was his look. They gave Big the Bop, old Lonnie. You know,
yeah, man. He came out shooting that thing. You know what I'm saying? I told that thing too.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. Come on now, throw me the ball. It's gonna be what it's gonna be.
And he answered. They threw the ball. That nigga was hitting them shits. That nigga hit about four, five of them bitches straight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, who is that? Looking like my man from BT Raps.
Who, Tigger?
Nah, what's the, before Tigger?
Joe Claire?
Nah, before Joe Claire.
Oh, Chris, the mayor, Chris.
Yeah, look out there looking Chris like the mayor.
The mayor. Shout out to the mayor, Chris, I forget his last name. Hey,
like, is that the mayor out there shooting them?
That's fucking funny. Yeah, little DJ Pooh looking too, if I'm thinking about it. Yeah, I can't.
Hold on. Let me see
what's what for.
Shit.
He was a comedian.
Rap City. I'm putting BET. They put best. I don't need your help, Siri.
Right. Mind your business.
Yeah. His nigga name was Chris Thomas.
Chris Thomas, yeah, the mayor. Chris Thomas.
The mayor of Rap City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. That's funny. The mayor of Rap City. Oh, shit. Yeah. Well, that's what's up, man. Yeah, that's been pretty exciting and shit.
Man. But, you know, that shit, you can't never get too comfortable when you got Steph Curry, man.
Yeah, nah, he going, you know, you always in play. Always in play. Let that cat start throwing him up. You know what I mean? It's, to me, still, it's, he's the only person where, like, when he miss, it bugs me out. Like, I can't believe it. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, his shit is typically, you know, but swish, swish.
They had there was a, you know, how these playoffs would bring out all the stats and shit.
Uh-huh. You know what narratives,
I'm and then you know, and then it kind of be putting shit in proper perspective because again, you don't expect Curry to ever miss. You know what I'm saying? So you would think that he's had a whole lot of, you know what I'm saying, game winning shots, and he has in his career. But in the playoffs, they have a stat that says Curry has never made a go ahead shot with less than a minute left. Like a go ahead, like 50 seconds or less, go ahead shot. He's 0 for like 20 something.
Wow.
So I know how he took that last shot. You know what I'm saying? The tie or the go ahead. Mm-hmm. He hasn't hit any of them. Which was like, damn, what? Like, that has to be wrong. You know what I'm saying? Because you can't even envision him missing a go ahead shot in the fourth quarter.
Right. When it counts.
When it counts. You know what I'm saying? But the man is human, you know what I'm saying? The numbers be, you know what I'm saying, telling some stories that your memory don't, you know what I'm saying, that your memory don't recall. It's like thinking on Jordan, it's like he made every fucking game winner, every single time. But I remember being a Jordan fan in the playoffs and them niggas get beat. You be like, damn, they lost? Like, this is crazy.
Right.
Like, he'd be almost sad. Like, damn, nigga, he's supposed to win every game. But, nope, them niggas was losing.
Yeah, that's how it goes sometimes. Yeah, it's crazy. And they'll put together some stories for you. They'll figure them numbers out to come with a nice little story. That's the beauty of sports. Sports will find the story.
Right.
And it'd be the most micro story that is so, it's like bespoke.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
And it's like with LeBron, you know, as good as he is, he always has his human element always comes out at some point. You know what I'm saying? Like, you'd be like, damn, LeBron, what was you thinking? But, you know what I'm saying? Like sometimes he'll have like a mental lapse in the middle of a playoff game. You'd be like, God damn, nigga, wake up.
Yeah. We be forgetting. Right. These people are not infallible. They not AI yet. You know, it's only one AI.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the nigga be, like, you just be like, man, all you got to do is just go. Them niggas can't stop you. Just go to the hole. And niggas just keep shooting threes.
Yeah. Yeah, that bugged me out. That's what they were saying last night. The Warriors should have just kept doing the pick and roll against Davis. They'd have been even better, but, you know.
Things be switching up, man. Them coaches don't be. See, this is the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? This ain't that the one games you meet two times a year, three times a year. This the playoffs, nigga. Niggas done been studied all your routines. So you be got to come up with new shit every time. And, like, the pick and roll shit probably was, like, a newer thing. But, shit, by the time niggas start making adjustments, that shit ain't going to work every single time. Because the way the Lakers was adjusting, they started turning that shit up. They was playing differently in the third quarter than they was in that first half. You know what I'm saying? They put LeBron on the ball. Remember last week we talked about him playing off the ball. They put him on the ball, and he was taking that thing to the hoop. Niggas get tired of that shit. Like Beast Mode was like, you can't just keep running through a nigga face over and over and over. Niggas gonna get tired of that shit.
Hell yeah. You like, all right, brother, you got that. Take that. Go ahead, take it. You got that.
You're tired of this. Big 6'8", 270, barreling through the hole.
Yeah, that shit is crazy. Disrespectful. Oh, man.
Curry, boy. It's funny, though, how LeBron, he's figured Curry's shot out to be able to block it a lot. You know what I'm saying? It's like last few games he had a couple of blocks on Curry, and he had one in this in the last game, and you know Curry blew right past him. But you know that's the way he got his little technique down for blocking you after you pass him. He got that shit down pat on Curry. He just wait, let that nigga go by. He throw that little soft thing up and
get that shit out of here
from behind. Nope, all that, all of the shit you supposed to say after that.
Yeah, man, I was trying to restrain. I had a couple moments myself. If this was It Is What It Is, it'd have been about 40 different pauses already. Oh shit. Oh man, it's too funny, man. Yeah. Oh shit. You know, it's funny though. To that point, you are starting to see some of the, you know, these stars that have been the man for so long starting to get, they getting older. You know, like, you know, a lot of people aren't as threatened by LeBron as they once were, or they're not as intimidated by him. They coming for him, or, you know, or they got a left. You know, they could blow right past this cat. Or even with Steph, last night I seen at least twice he got shook so bad he fell. And it wasn't even a super crossover. It was just, kid juked him. It just, boom, boom. He just fell. You like, oh, shit, what is going on? Yeah.
You seen the one when, what's his name, the fourth? Lil Lonnie.
Yeah.
Lil Lonnie hit a little spin move on Steph Curry. He fell all the way out of bounds.
That's the one I'm talking about. Towards the I saw that shit.
This nigga broke like breakdancing outside of the goddamn arena.
I said, damn, that ain't supposed to happen to Steph.
He missed the shot though, so it don't count.
Yeah, nah, but you definitely put him down. That was crazy. Then what was my man's name that caught a night? The cat that came from the Nets. He had a nice little move on Clay that was sick. Crossed him and did like a spit. D'Angelo Russell, he had a nice little move on Clay that was crazy. But anyway, yeah, I'm starting to get out of my depth as far as the sports talk goes. My shit is very casual. Oh shit, but yeah, man, I'm gonna be watching. It's gonna be good. What else is good with you? What's popping?
What is good, man? Working on a bunch of little stuff, man. Got a show we creating with Demetria Obalor, so that's exciting.
Okay.
A little solo project for her, so that's cool. Man, I'm in a space right now where, you know, the game's starting to slow down. You're starting to see different stuff, but you gotta just push yourself through, gain enough momentum to get to the place where you're trying to go. And you can start seeing, you know, seeing some light. And it's like, okay, if I take this route, I could, you know what I'm saying, knock this shit out the park. Or, you know what I'm saying, or this whole shit could fall all the way apart. So it's very precarious, but at the same time, super exciting. So I've been, you know, just getting on my study game, trying to learn as much as I can about certain spaces in the business where shit is going. So I'm there. So it's like a place of you almost in a, you nowhere and somewhere at the same time, because you ain't at the place where you're trying to go. You can see it, but you're somewhere in the middle of nowhere. And I'm trying to work myself through that and get to a place where it's like solid ass results. Solid ass, how do I fucking land this life plane softly? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You don't want to crash land in your 60s and shit and be like, oh, Lord, I fucked it up. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Nigga want to land life softly, if at all possible. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
It ain't like a nigga been saving in a 401k, like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, whatever it's going to be is what you making it. And that's what a nigga is trying to make some shit be that ain't there yet. But feel close, man. It feel like, damn, this shit could bust wide open if you do it right. So I'm there. So I'm in the bookstore. I'm studying. I'm taking my notes. I'm writing, trying to learn. You know, so it's like sometimes when you around the youth, them, the youth is impatient with shit, right? And they want shit. They want the shit to be spelled out. But at the same time, you know, this the Generation Z category or Gen Zennials per se.
Is that what they calling them now?
Well, it's Gen Z, but then you have millennials, and then you have people who kind of like in between. Like they call them hybrid. Gen Zennials. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, they the group that's like, you know, want to tell the job how they want to work, and they want to, you know, half remote and half this, and, you know, they want, you know, got down
quality of life,
mental health days, and
right,
and you
right.
know what I'm saying. They don't, you know, they want to do it. They want to work how they want to work. And you know, the trip shit is when I was doing 21st Century Hustle, the magazine, we talked about this. You know what I'm saying? We talked about people wanting to work in a way that was more reflective of who they were, as opposed to letting what they do define who they are, right? But I think this generation, they feel like that. They want those things, and they are close to getting them. But what they don't understand is everybody not going to have those luxuries. You know what I'm saying? In order to have those luxuries, you got to get good at some shit where people motherfucking want your ass as talent, you know, because the entitlement of just thinking it's supposed to be that way is a lot different from when somebody really know what the fuck they got going on, they doing it, and it's like, you know, they're useful, and companies want them, and companies want to pay them like that. So it's interesting working in that dynamic where I believe the same shit they believe, but I also have done it. I have worked the way I wanted to work on my own, paid, got my own self paid, and not, you know what I'm saying? And it ain't as easy as they think it is, as they want it to be. So it's funny watching young people go through the whole process of trying to define work for themselves, but then sometimes don't put the work behind it, you know what I'm saying, to justify a lot of the things that they think should be. You know, I think a lot of times people hear these studies and read the research, and they identify with them, but you know, them 4-day work weeks, it ain't just cause nigga only gonna work 4 days and take the rest off. The motherfucker gonna put in some real quality work and then be able to take the, you know what I'm saying, the other 3 days off. You know what I'm saying? So they still be productive, you know.
Right.
So
right.
You know, it's interesting. You know what I'm saying? Life is, that's, you know, that's like some observations of life right now. I don't know if I was rambling, and I don't know if I switched topics, but it's just a few observations from the world of mine.
I can dig it. I'm with it. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I was, as you were saying that, I was thinking about, I think, you know, with the Gen Z and the millennials and this whole, like, advocate up front for what you will and will not do and kind of leverage your power or whatever, or, right. you know, like, it's non-traditional, but to that point of, you know, you still need to work. Mm-hmm. It's like lifestyle propaganda, right? So, you know, like when you think about it, like this is that, it's that soft life. It's that, you know, look, man, you got to chart your own course and all of that type of shit. And you may want to be there before you have earned your way there. Like you said, it reminds me of like when back in the day, it was more about, it was the get money shit. Mm-hmm. It was like you had to get this money. I remember being 18 in college or about to graduate talking about, yo, man, if I ain't a millionaire by like 27, I'm a failure. You right, know what I'm right. saying? Like, with no plan, with a right. psychology degree at that. No plan. And but that's what, that's how I was feeling. And there'd be so much of like, you could still want to participate in the lifestyle. So you might buy a bottle that's out your financial range, or you might do certain shit. You might try to buy, you know, you might buy the little signposts mm-hmm. of that lifestyle,
right.
but you are not part of that group, but it's like, you know what I mean? But it's the, it's that proximity is seductive, boy. They'll get you. They'll get you. And I just feel like overall, you know, you saying like, yo, at 60, I want to land soft. I hear you. I hear you. But what's killing me, and this is also part of this whole lifestyle propaganda too, because I be seeing it a lot, this talk about, you know, I got to separate myself from the clutches of capitalism, you know, all of that shit, because this is, that's America's religion. Mm-hmm. Is that dollar. It's making, pushing that dollar and making, being productive for this. And it's so embedded in every little thing that it's like, it's so hard to, it's so hard to like detach, because there's so much like little stimuli that is attached to capitalism that you might not like, just all of the, like I said, all of the nice little trappings of luxury, mm-hmm. you know, like shit, there's, like crazy shit, like, airport lounges. I love a good airport lounge. It makes the travel feel so much better. Mm-hmm. You know, like the, you know, I'll come through, had a certain card or whatever. But just to have a card, the annual fee is crazy. So you basically, you're paying for the, you know what I mean? Like, you're still paying to play. You're still paying to participate, because God forbid you on the outside looking in, you mm-hmm. know, and there's so much like capitalism and shame as they get, you know, manipulated a certain way. It's like, look at this nigga, it fell off. Like, I've been, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was thinking about this recently. I was looking at my, just my email. Every mm-hmm. so often, my email gets a little, Google will be like, yo, you bugging out. You know what I mean? Take some of this shit down. Get rid of some of this, because you wilding. So I start unsubscribing from shit, and I feel like that unsubscribe shit don't, it come right back like 2 weeks later. They think you forgot. But email is all, like, for real, it seems like email is really, it's like digital panhandling. Email is sophisticated, but most of the emails that I get is from people trying to sell me some shit. Companies trying to offer me a deal and this, that, and blah, blah, blah. It's very, you know, it's a few little correspondents, but it's a lot of junk mail. And it's a lot of, yo, what's going on? I thought you were spending money. You ain't spending money no more? Nigga, don't tell me you fell off. Nigga, we gonna stop emailing you. But I don't know, man. But it's just such a sticky ass web, you know, just how it all could be. I saw something, I don't know where, what country this shit was, but they was like, yo, the cost of living out here is like something crazy. No, I was thinking, well, shit, maybe I might be that nigga. You know what I mean? Like your man Zakai, oh, off the grid in the bush, right, chilling. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I hear you, man. It's an interesting time. Are you reading anything interesting that you would share? Anything that was cool? Anything since you've been?
I was, you know, this week it was mostly periodicals. I did pick up the LeBron book to flip through.
Oh, you got a book?
Yeah, somebody wrote a book on LeBron.
Okay.
And I picked it up off the shelf, you know, just to flip through. But I saw they had an index. I wanted to see if they mentioned Rachel in there. And then they had her name in there.
Oh, that's what's up.
She was mentioned, you know what I'm saying? So I went to the first mention, and they were saying how they was telling the story of how Jay-Z introduced her to Maverick and how that was a pivotal introduction. So I was like, yeah, now her shit written in fucking stone out this bitch.
Mm-hmm.
So I was happy to see that. You know what I'm saying? So, but really, most of the stuff I picked up today was a lot of stuff on the mind. You know what I'm saying? Like the scientific journal had something about memory, and then I picked up this other shit that was talking about music and memory. And how music plays, you know, one of the most impactful roles in your mind's memory process. You know what I'm saying? It said music, you know, it activates the same, like, areas of the mind. They call them ancient areas of the mind. that same sex as food, same place as food and sex. So... Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Primal shit.
Primal shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Food, sex, and music. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
That's how 808s. No wonder dates only be about food, music, word, and sex. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So that was interesting, just to, you know, like, and then I had already had this theory about music. Like, when my mother-in-law was at our house in New York one time, and she was talking about something. And she was talking about something in high school. And so as she was talking, I wanted to hear the little soundtrack that went with it. So, you know, I was like, you know, she was saying the year she graduated, I think 1967 or something, class of 67. And so I just went to 67 and pulled up all of the hits from 67 in soul and R&B. And then I started playing them. She was like, that's a song we would listen to. How'd you know that? I'm like, I just, you know what I'm saying? I know about the 60s. But really, I was Googling that shit as she was talking. And he was like, yeah. That, you know, and as I went, you know what I'm saying? It just changed the dynamic of the conversation to where she was super excited. And I had seen one time a video online where they use music of to, you know, bring activity to like people in the nursing homes. I think I posted it when I was blogging. I posted this one thing where it's like an old guy, and they put the headphones on him. I want to say Cootie and Chike worked on this shit, but I ain't sure. So I ain't going to really say it. I just said it to say it. Y'all might have to look that up. But but I think they had something to do with this piece. But, you know, they put the music on. He put the headphones on. They put the music from his era, and he just lit up. But the whole time before that, he was just in the wheelchair, slobbing out the mouth, linked over to the side, you know what I'm saying? Or like, you know, old folks home, nursing home shit, you know what I mean? And so I always think about that when it comes to music and memory and shit like that. So
yeah, that's what's up.
That's cool. That's what I was on. I'm gonna see. I'm gonna go through my pictures and see, you know, some of the shit that I
do your camera roll?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Is it that?
Oh, I'm trying shit. To tell you that. Oh, whatever. Shit.
Yeah.
It was some shit. Remember we was talking about finding shit to do when you know what I'm saying? As you get grown and stop making friends so easy.
Mm-hmm.
It was an article on that shit. I screenshot that shit for old boy who be hitting us on the side conversation.
Oh, okay. Yeah, man. Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of that type of shit going on. I don't know if you've seen this whole report. They say loneliness is like smoking 15 packs of cigarettes a day or some shit like that.
Damn.
Yeah, I don't know if it's 15 packs. It might be 15. So let me see. Yeah, it's crazy though. Something bananas.
What if you're lonely and smoke cigarettes?
Right. It's a rap for you. Oh, man. I'm gonna try to find that shit. But yeah, they say just say lonely is as deadly as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. So almost a pack a day.
Dang.
Yeah, man. Make you want to go make a friend. Mm-hmm. Instead of tell a friend to tell her, make a friend and make another friend so you ain't lonely again. Speaking of that, I was talking about this sodium struggle. I'm still on this shit. This nigga sounds so washed. It is what it is, dog. I'm just saying. I'm trying to stay, try to live. So I'm out here in the grocery store. I felt like I was just, breaking up with a whole bunch of friends. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's sodium in everything. All types of shit. And it's slick. And shit that you think is going to be good for you. But not that you would think it's good for you, but it pairs with shit that's good for you. So, like, I'm trying to do more salads. And the goal is to do butt naked salads, meaning no dressing, none of that, just straight leaves and whatever, go straight raw. But, there's a come on, that's a little learning curve to that type of shit, a palate learning curve, if we being honest. So I still like to get a little, nice little salad dressing. I'm trying to be sparing with it. So something told me as I was shopping the other day, because I'm spinning everything looking at the sodium salad dressing in general has crazy sodium. If you ever look at the back of that shit, that shit's about, and then when you find out what you're supposed to have, this is crazy. Hear me out. But I think you're supposed to have like 400 milligrams of sodium a day. Which ain't shit. Your average ramen is like 1,800. So, salad like 400 or 500 milligrams. Like, it was crazy. Anyway, I'm trying to think, did I do anything super lit to kind of bounce back from that that real dry, responsible liver shit? Not too much, man. Just doing shows, just performing and shit like that. I started posting clips, way late, better late than never. But I'm just like, man, I want to try something different just to measure some shit and see what's what. So, commit to doing the shit. And try to put one up at least at this moment, like once every Tuesday. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then maybe see what's going on with that, add some more, just have fun with the shit. You know what I'm saying? And funny enough, you were talking about reading books and like just studying the game and peeping shit. I went to the library because that's the connect. And I took out old Country Wayne's new book, Help Is On The Way. Mm-hmm. I'm going to check that out. I haven't cracked it yet. I got that, and I got this other book, Nightcrawler by Layla Motley. So I'm going to check them shits out.
Yeah, Country Wayne, that's probably interesting. He was on the show today, actually.
Oh, that's what's up. Yeah. Look at that. It's funny, too, because I was about to ask you. I thought about this yesterday. I was about to ask you about Rachel. So it's wild how shit is all in the algorithm of the universe.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you gotta stay tapped into that shit, cause boy, you'll miss it. You look back and be like, God damn, it's right there. So
yeah, but that's cool. Yeah, so he's on the show.
I didn't really hear it, but he was there. I met him afterwards, so okay. I didn't hear really what I heard a little bit. They was talking about relationships and shit. Wayne, he be, on his, he got a certain way he presented himself as far as positioning, I would say, you know, like Jay-Z as a rapper was like the king of positioning. He positioned himself a whole lot better than a lot of people. So when you watch Wayne shit, he always positioned himself like a nigga with a bankroll. You know what I'm saying? Even when he playing the old man character, when he playing himself, any character he play gonna have a bankroll. You know what I'm saying? And he be ready to whip it out and be generous with it. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So he puts that in the world, you know what I mean? And so that becomes he becomes associated with that, which, you know, ain't a bad thing to be associated with in this, like you said, in America's religion. You know what I'm saying? So
right. Yeah. Nah, that's what it is.
But he has mastered, you know what I'm saying, that internet content. You know what I mean? And mastered it in a way where, you know, it's simple. It's not, it doesn't, he don't pay a lot to do the shit he do. You know what I'm saying? As far as like production value, it's, you know, iPhone, which, you know, of course we know can get clean quality images, especially when you got good light. But he's been able to do all the shit that he's done just shooting with a phone. They don't even edit that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They probably take multiple takes, but they don't edit. So that save a whole lot of time. And when a lot of people look at what he's doing and try to replicate it, and then they, you know, you see them write their little plans, and this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to shoot 5 episodes in a day. I was like, but my nigga, if you shoot that shit with real cameras and try to do it the real way, you're going to get bogged down in editing like a motherfucker.
Right.
His shit set up perfectly. One motherfucker phone, all the way through, no edit. Bang, cut. Let's go to the next one.
Yeah. Now, it's wild. It's wild. Sometimes, you know, you can make things a lot harder than they need to be. Because sometimes it's just like, it feels like certain shit should have some sophistication attached to it. And a lot of that is just what's sold to you. You know, effective, simple and effective is always effective, you know? So it's just like sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And I think a lot of the, I think, you know, I can't speak for him. Again, I haven't read the book at all, so I don't really know all the insight on this shit. I've seen some of his interviews or whatever, but I know, like, you know, a lot of his shit has been outside the industry. You know what I'm saying? He's built his own thing. And sometimes when, I forget, there was a quote saying that, you know, if you grow up worshiping something or really looking up to it, revering something, you're more less likely to take risks because you already have kind of studied everything that could so-called go wrong. That's not the right way to do it. You've adopted all of these principles that, you know what I mean, that were developed before you, you know? And it's just like somebody that's just like, they just looking at it and they don't look at it like that. They just, it's an endeavor. They're going to do whatever they want to do because they don't have it in their mind to be like, well, you know, you can't do it like this. You know what I'm saying? So it's pretty interesting, man. Yeah. But salute to that, man. I'm definitely going to check it out. I'm excited to see what it's about. See what he's talking about in that shit. Yeah, man.
Fired up.
And I was actually surprised that this library had that shit so fast. You know, but the library, I stay talking about it, but that library, they ain't too much lag time like it used to be. You know, you have to wait a little while for it to get the current shit. Nah, they right there with you. They right there with you. So, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta check the library out. Problem be, library ain't open on Sundays and shit at 6 p.m.
Oh, yeah. Oh, because you like to do a late night situation when you do like, your thing?
Yeah, I mean, well, the bookstore, you know what I'm saying? You, of course, you could drink tea and shit, and you know what I mean?
And chill out
a little bit, but you know, and then you know, it's a library, you know, has that vibe of super quietness, you know what I'm saying? But also has a, you know, you got to go ask for shit. Can I get, you know what I'm saying? And in the bookstore, the whole point of it is discovery. going in, just grabbing shit just to grab it. You know, like with periodicals at the library, you had to go and ask for them. But like with books, you can go do whatever. But, you know, it's just there when you need it. And for me, I like my mind really starts working as the sun start going down. You know what I mean? So to have to force my mind to do what I'm used to doing in the evening, to do it earlier, it don't always translate. You know what I'm saying? And so it's a different experience being in the library. You know, it's more like, you know, all right, I'm here. Let me check some shit out. But I ain't really ingesting the shit like I need to. Mm-hmm. But maybe I'm just making excuses.
Yeah, you got to do what you say. You got to do what works for you. You find your process, lock into your process. If it's working, it's working. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Burn. All right, well, you know what it is. It's about that time. Speaking of process.
Oh.
Where you want to go? You want to go Queens or you want to go Upper East Side?
Well, let's go Upper East Side.
Okay.
Get it out of the way. Cool. Get it out of the way. You know, cool.
Succession. I think I said this before, but I feel like this season is really about shaving time. This whole season, it's like they're getting busy on this season. Like they having some real... They having some real moments on this shit. Like that little blow up that they had at the end of it all. That was a good scene. That was a good scene. They are very, I think I said this, they're the most toxic couple on television right now. You know, and they really aired it out. They had one of those moments where they aired the shit out, both sides. You know, which are some of the worst arguments to have. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes some shits happen. What was I gonna say? So basically, in this episode, I guess you know Kendall, kind of just running solo. I know Roman's supposed to be co-piloting, but Kendall moving fast. You know what I'm saying? He ain't really doing too much consulting, and you know his whole goal is to still blow up this deal with Mattson or whatever. So, I think he brought in the guy, Nate, who I don't really know exactly what he does. Do you know what Nate's function is?
Nate was, he used to fuck with Shiv.
Okay. He's the data?
Yeah. I mean, they had a thing where they had a little, remember she had dipped out and cheated on Tom with this nigga.
That's
what made that scene so crazy.
Right. Okay. I kind of remember. I remember her. I know at one point, didn't she cheat with like a actor too, like a theater actor or something like that?
Probably.
Or a waiter or some shit like that? Yeah. Okay. I didn't know she jumped off with Nate. All right. So, but Nate is, what else does Nate do though? Nate's whole.
I'm not sure what Nate's job was. He's bringing in a lot of
finance shit.
Yeah, yeah, Nate worked as an advisor for the Bernie Sanders-esque Senator Gil Evans. Oh, that's when she went to politics. Remember, she went to politics. She was down in D.C.
Okay,
Logan's nemesis. So when remember Logan was trying to get with the president, and this nigga was running, and Nate was on his campaign. He was an advisor.
Okay, cool.
They was
gonna
use inside information from Shiv to bring down Logan. And all the cruise shit. And as Nate suggests to her in season one, right before her wedding, let's destroy ATN, Shiv. But she fails to pass on the insider secrets and instead aligns herself with her dad.
Oh, okay. Shiv moved like a devil agent for real.
Yeah. No, she always got a little devil agent to her.
She's just trying to get, you know, she's very thirsty for her recognition. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mommy are like Louie in a way. I'm talking about from what Louie said. Louie was like, look, I'm out here busting my ass, but everybody see me as the woman next to Jerome. And I'm putting in that work. Like, I need my recognition. You know, like, I'm ready to burn this whole shit down for my props. That's what she said, clear as day. So I feel like there's a part of that. Shiv wanna She want to run shit, but she don't even know exactly what it is to run shit. She don't know exactly because she don't. She's not of that industry. She's from the politics side, the communication side. She's ill over there, but as far as this network side, she's smart. You know what I mean? And she's obviously lineage to Logan, so she's seen some things. But I think, like, when we seen later on in this episode, when Madsen was like, yo, so what you want? What's the deal you want? She couldn't really put it together.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? She ain't really put it out there and claim it. Like, this is what I want. Bing, 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 bing. She was just like, look, I'm popping. You know what I mean? I'm smart. I'm hot shit. You know, let's figure it out. Still putting it in his hands to kind of anoint her, you know? But, So they trying to blow up the situation. They brought Nate in for some reason, I think, to, they kept saying regulatory. I don't know exactly what was going on with that, but they were like...
No, they was trying to say that, again, he's fudging numbers, so they want to put that... It's the same, these little storylines be crossing over between power, Ghost Power, and Succession and Snowfall. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these storylines be crossing over. But, like, same thing as in Ghost. They doing some little cheat shit with the numbers. So that's against the, the SEC regulatory shit to be fudging your numbers. So,
right.
And so what they trying to do is expose him on the regulatory shit to, dry the deal away. You know what I'm saying? On the flip side, they probably got the thing with the, what's her name? Emma? You know what I'm saying?
Ebba.
You know what I'm saying? The little, Me Too shit he was doing on Ebba. You know what I mean? So they got him, they got him in a sling, as far as they're concerned. But, you know what I'm saying? You know how these guys can fuck some shit up real fast. And this shit.
Yeah, it's never safe with them. And it's crazy that they just don't even really notice how Shiv is just double crossing him in plain sight. Like, it's not even discreet how she moving. Yeah. So.
But Kendall ain't either. You know what I'm saying? Kendall crossing everybody up.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess they all. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Shit,
yeah. He crossing everybody up. And then old Romulus. Tried to motherfucking, get back in good graces with Jerry. Hey, I was just kidding. You know what I'm saying? You're back in. Stop it. I'm kidding. She was like, oh, nah. I don't want back in. Mm-hmm. She motherfucker said, I want an eye-watering amount of money.
That was ill. I want an eye-watering sums of money. That's the hell is... I ain't never heard no shit like that. That shit was hundreds of millions.
Right.
I like that shit. Her shit... You see how she... spit her shit off. That's how Shiv should have been with Manson. That's what I want. Bing, bing, bing. Nah, Shiv had Jerry had a whole shit. She said, look, I already got somebody on that's doing my narrative. Look, this is how it's going to roll out. And if it don't happen, trust me.
I will unfold this legion of this photo roll of your...
Oh, shit.
Your genitalia.
Right. Nah, I ain't playing. I ain't come here to play with you, bro.
See, the problem is... the kids, they think they want the game, but they don't know the game. You know what I'm saying?
No.
These old timers, they really been in the fucking trenches with a fucking shark. You know what I'm saying? For years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She know the game better than all you little motherfuckers, for real.
Yeah.
So when they came to her, it's like she like, you know what I'm saying? You wanna shoot at the crown, but you better not miss. I know what time it is.
Yeah, I know some shit about your father that you don't know.
Right, nigga, I know what I mean. I know where all the bodies buried.
Yeah. Shit, they said in the last episode, they was like, that's Shiv's godmother. It was like, you fired Shiv's godmother?
Right.
That's how LinkedIn she is, yeah.
Right.
LinkedIn before LinkedIn.
So it's like, man, you play too much. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't even know the game that you're playing. You just playing fire. You know, dad like to fire people, so,
Yeah,
nigga, this ain't that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I'm trying to think of any other little funny. I liked one of my favorite moments was when, you know, they was trying to pressure Connor to drop out the election, relinquish his little 1% margin, so the other Mencken could get a little something.
Right.
Connor was like, "Nah." I thought Connor was about to steal on Rome when he said some old slick shit about his wife. Talking about, look, dog, first of all, everybody laughing at you. Take this little bit of money. Tell you, I think he said, your quote-unquote wife to cover her shoulders and head and go over there with you. And then and Connor got up. I thought he was about to put it to fisticuffs. And he was like, nah, that ain't happening. I just like how he stood up for himself because he's kind of been, you know, he's always been the black sheep, the oddball out, you know what I mean, and a bit of a laughing stock. So he kind of held his own, and it was kind of cool that, you know, him and Willa, they really working, you know what I'm saying? And he juxtaposed that with fucking Tom and Chef. Mm-hmm. That shit is crazy.
Yeah, the Tom and Chef shit. That was good acting, man. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, they killed it. They killed that shit.
They did some good acting there, man. That was. Yeah, that was a little.
It was a moment.
Yeah, it was a little masterclass on storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what
I mean? They was letting it all out. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
letting it all be known. Yeah, in the waspiest, whitest way possible. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know if these people are wasp or whatever, but you know what I'm saying?
I can dig it.
You know what I mean? Rich as fuck.
Right. right. Yeah, nah, they got that off. That was crazy. Mm-hmm. I think that was about it that I could remember. Yeah, that was pretty much it. See you, man, Greg, getting shitted on.
I mean, as per usual. I mean, we're running out of episodes, so I'm not sure how they're going to roll out these characters and wrap them up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Greg would have had a more surprising ending to his fate, but maybe that's yet to be seen.
What you thinking? What would you think?
I don't know. I'm saying, you know, he got all them files from Cruises, right?
Right.
So when Tom told him to go shred the Cruise files, he didn't. He kept them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, that's something that could take Tom down in the end. You know what I'm saying? It may be something that could raise Greg up. I don't know. It's one of them shits like on Power. Like, they keep a little shit to throw a twist if they need it. Except for that'd be every story on Ghost. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Speaking of that, real quick. Yeah, speaking of Greg and Tom, I forgot the one scene. This shit was sick. I was tight about this shit. This was a tough one. When they fired all them people on Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so matter of fact how they was like, hey, look, he ain't even looking at the, first of all, it's already on Zoom with the whole community. You know what I'm saying? You in gallery view getting fired, getting let go in gallery view has got to be, that's super cold-blooded. The dude ain't even looking at the screen. He read it off of a script, stammering. Your man Tom off to the side, making all types of faces and shit. They just like, all right, well, you know, this is really tough for me. But, yeah, if you're on this call, we're letting you go. Take it easy. I said, damn. That shit was. It was too many motherfuckers getting let go. So, like, fortunately, these ain't the type of people that be just in the streets regularly. But that's a lot of back watching. You know what I'm saying?
But that shit was so funny. The nigga was like, yeah, you know, if you're on this call, that, you know, you could basically take it as, you know, you didn't make it. And he was like, he's like, you know, I can't read the chat, so, you know, I won't be able to respond to anything, any questions, anything. So, you know, take it easy.
Oh,
take
shit.
Take it easy, nigga.
Take it easy. That's the worst. Damn. That's how they got let go. Mm-hmm. After years, a lot of them got. That was crazy. That was crazy. It's like getting fired on Instagram Live. I can't see the comments. So I'm just going to go. Y'all stay cool. Mm-hmm. Damn. Yeah, man. Be careful out there, Greg. Because you too tall to be, you know what I mean, on the low.
Right.
Oh, shit, man.
Oh, so Shiv needed Nate because he works for the guy that's 4 points ahead in the election polling and can help them with the scheme to get Mattson out.
Okay. You know what
I'm saying? With the regulatory shit. And gotcha. Then she also, of course, invited Mattson, you know what I'm saying, against her brothers as well. So it's like she'll just triple, you know what I'm saying? She triple crossing niggas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. She going for whatever's going to work. Shit crossed out time.
They always,
crazy.
They always like, fuck time. Yeah, fuck yeah. time.
Yeah. Time had a, this is my house moment.
Get the fuck out.
Exactly, exactly. Like, fucking, no, I'm serious. I need y'all to get the fuck out of here. It's over. It's
Don't
a wrap.
Don't let the doorknob hit you with a good Lord split you.
Yeah. Y'all stay, take it easy.
He's on his George Jefferson.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. All right, well, let's talk about...
Oh, but before we go, man, he really... Go ahead. In that Shiv Tom thing, he really played her, though, with the little, with the baby comment, not knowing she's pregnant right now.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
That was foul. But then there's also this thought, and I don't know, it's a theory right now. There's a theory that he might even know. Because that's his wife. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he might have impeached. Maybe she could be pregnant. And if he did know, that's even more low down. Yeah, like, foul.
I mean, that ain't going to be the way to get no good graces.
Hell nah.
After
hell
this
nah.
shit go down.
Yeah, nah, they took them gloves off. It was nasty. It was a nasty one.
Yeah. All right. We it's a big rich town. But now we're going to the poet's part.
That shit's on. Oh, shit. All right. Man. Yeah. So, yo, you called it. Oh, Effie and Kane got the jump off.
Man, you know, it's quite, it was, I mean, I felt good for Kane. You know what I'm saying? Even this, you know, it's all a very incestuous scenario going on, but it felt good to see Kane have, you know, get to take off his Louis Vuitton coat and, you know what I'm saying, along with his, you know what I'm saying, very thuggish persona, you know what I'm saying, a lot of, you know, the nigga got a lot of heartbreak inside of him, a lot of, you know what I'm saying, he's been kind of abused by his parents and shit, you know what I'm saying, you know, he fighting for his space in the world. You know what I'm saying? He can't get nowhere with his mama. She keep telling him he ain't shit. His daddy would tell him he ain't shit till he had to drop on him. You know what I'm saying? But the good thing is he was able to reconcile that shit before his daddy got guilt.
He had to blackmail some love out his pops.
Yeah.
Ain't that some shit? Damn.
But when his pops, you know, jumped in front of the bullet, you know what I'm saying? He was like, you know what, pops? You might be all right. Very thuggery lovery and shit. It was good to see that character, you know what I'm saying, be able to, you know, have a moment. A very brief moment. But
yeah,
a
real
moment
quick. Now go hide in the bathroom. Hide in the bathroom.
And watch me go to jail and shit 2 times.
Right. Yeah, man. That shit crazy. So go ahead. You break it down.
So, you know, they got the drop on old Sax. Tariq came in with the, you know what I'm saying, the SOS 911. Yo, Sax is the mole. Davis and that bitch getting drunk. You know what I'm saying? Because his brother won't talk to him and shit. So, you know, Sax like, I'll go handle the little Diana jailhouse situation.
Right.
But really, he's going to get information for his boo. So he heads on down. Davis proceeds to continue to drink. Tariq shows up. Hey, man. You know what I'm saying? This nigga's the mole. What the fuck? This low down, slimy, ungrateful motherfucker. Then, you know, then Davis's brother comes in. He's like, you know. No, that ain't the same scene, but, you know.
Davis' drunk ass went and grabbed his pistol.
Yeah, Davis grabbed the pistol.
It's crazy.
Hey, hold up, man. You got to think. Tariq got all the sense. Nigga talks sense into everybody.
sage motherfucker.
He just got down, hit the hood Yoda in the shit.
Absolutely. Yeah, fucking 19. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, so Davis, you know, he sober up and get on down to the fucking station to intercept the goddamn mole from getting the, you know, the info when he drops Diana a line, you know what I'm saying, on their way out.
Mm-hmm.
Blame that shit on Effie. Trust me. So she proceeds to put the drop on F. Effie is living her best life, getting some, you know what I'm saying, tuition thug loving going on. They come arrest her ass again. Like, you know what I'm saying? You motherfuckers already know I ain't got this. Nah, bitch, you going to jail for motherfucking murder this time. Attempted murder, rather. Rolled the window down on Lauren. Oh, shit. Kane.
That's the bitch.
Kane come down peeping over everybody's shoulders like, you know what I'm saying? Wait a minute. Who is that? Right. Oh, Lord. He like, I bet he like, these little motherfucking schoolhouse motherfuckers can't do shit.
Hell nah, these niggas do not know the assignment.
Goddamn ABC after school special ass niggas.
Nigga. Kelly's motherfuckers, what is going on? These niggas like roaches.
Right.
Oh, shit.
So you got that, then, you know. Then meanwhile, over at Weston Holdings.
Mm-hmm.
The young Weston is trying to blow the old whistleblower. You know what I'm saying? It's a Ponzi scheme. Oh, my God. I can't believe I got rich off of Ponzi's and selling drugs, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he got that whole thing going. So now they got RSJ and fucking Tyreek and the young whistleblower in one room with the uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, RSJ like, nigga, you gonna give me mine. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna tell you how this shit finna go. Or I'm gonna go to the regulatory commission. That's what he was saying. Like he trying to go to the regulators too.
Everybody, regulators,
moan
exactly.
Up.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Shit, this nigga, his whole shit falling apart. He can't catch a break on his Bernie Madoff shit. Cause now Monet popping up at the golf course like, nigga, I needs mine. When I call for it, you best to have it, nigga.
Uh-huh. Like, and this drink is refreshing.
Right. He's like, wait a minute, hold up now. You can't even roll up in here. Bitch, I'm here. What's happening? And then, you know, in that regard, damn, what was the scene where Tyreek had the quotable? You know what I'm saying? His whole world ghetto. You know, whatever he said.
Oh, no,
this scene, but it relates because Monet popping up at the golf course and everybody looking like she ain't supposed to be there is the same thing. Like, nah, nigga.
Oh, right.
This whole world
yeah.
is, you know what I'm saying? Shit.
Yes. It's all ghetto. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Nah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you said he had that quotable, but there's one quotable that stole the night. I'm going to be honest with you, stole the night. Rico? Like, all right, like YSL Rico? Yeah. Oh, nigga, like, that shit.
Broke the fourth wall shit.
Nigga, that shit was too funny. Nigga, you see the whole Twitter timeline in the script. Shit was funny as hell, though. I can't even lie, though. Like, YSL Rico? Oh, that shit was so silly, man. Of course, Braden would say that shit. But go ahead, keep going. That shit was funny, though.
Yeah, we finally seen Tariq driving his car and shit.
Oh, did we? Where was he going?
He was staking out somebody in the car. I just remember him being in the Porsche.
Oh, right. Yeah. During the Effie situation when they
He was watching on all of the surveillance cameras. I don't know how he tapped in, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He mastermind like his daddy.
Absolutely.
Nigga figure shit out in a pinch, nigga.
Yeah.
So
this nigga, yeah, go ahead.
So the family of the lover of Drew, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. is looking for their son and their brother. You know what I'm saying? Have you seen them? I ain't heard nothing. I mean, it probably would have been easier for the nigga to be like, I talked to him yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody know you did.
Right.
Last time I saw him yesterday.
He mad at me. He stopped talking to me. Something right. to make. He just, yeah, that was crazy. Yeah, that was
so,
crazy.
So he automatically suspect. Mm-hmm. So he high. He in his feelings because he had to kill his lover.
Mm-hmm.
And then he see his ex-lover all on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Coming all out with his new lover and shit. Claiming a nigga all on TV and he in OKC. You know what I'm saying? All the shit he couldn't do last season because he was trying to protect his rep.
Right.
Now he free.
Mm-hmm.
Drew don't like that.
Nah.
But he don't know Drew is a whole killer. and has matriculated from the scared killer that he used to be.
Right.
Into a full-fledged monster. This nigga crazy.
Absolutely.
He got more bodies than Tariq.
Mm-hmm. And is emotionally unstable. Like, you can't be honest with you. That nigga is wild. It's
killing and crying. Same time.
Yeah. Oh, shit, yeah.
So he stalks these niggas to the restaurant where they at.
So he jumped on. They were in New York then, I guess.
Yeah, he saw. Yeah. He was on his Instagram. Remember when he was in the restaurant, he was sliding through the Instagram.
Okay,
so he seen him in New York. And then when dude came out, he was like, oh, man. I meant to tell you I was going to be in the city, da-da-da-da-da. And then Drew has his whole public soliloquy.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, to be caught on tape. And
which go viral, all of us, for whatever reason. I guess because
the
guy
play for OKC.
OKC, right, truly.
Yeah, just came out. Just came out on TV. Now his ex-gay lover is causing a scene in the restaurant.
right.
I mean, that's good. Six man. That's good viral shit, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh. That's true.
Oh man, that was good TMZ shit. Now, but anyway, so Drew, you know what I'm saying? You know, acts a fool. You know what I'm saying? You know the new lover. You want me to handle this for you?
You don't want that problem, brother.
Drew, take it easy, nigga. What shit?
Let me at him. Take it easy, Brooks Brothers. You do not want this. Nah, this ain't for you. This nigga will kill you. Leave you where you stand. Do not do that.
Exactly. And in the reverse of the Kane scene, where you know it was, you know, like, come on, all right, about time this nigga get some love in his life.
Yeah.
On the flip side, it was Drew's, you know, spiral catching up to him. You know what I'm saying? The nigga who get all the love scenes in the goddamn show. That's fine.
Yeah, all of them
spiraled out of control. Every week this nigga's on Grindr. God damn. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh shit, nigga. Yeah, man. They all go through it. This is Black Succession. Now that you looking at it, that fucking Tejada family is definitely the Roys.
Right.
Yeah, man.
So all right, so you got that. That's Drew. That's Drew's storyline. Mm-hmm. He in the crosshairs of the other family, and he done had a whole viral breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
So now, now that Sax is outed.
Yeah, fucked up.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He trying to go to his old lady like, hey, nice shit. You know what I mean? I did what I could. She like, but you didn't pull it through. Nigga, I ain't got no protection for you. You on your own, motherfucker. You like, well, God, and then you gonna just leave me out here to motherfucking dry?
Mm-hmm.
Be careful, Sax.
Careful. Take it easy.
Take it easy.
Take it easy.
If you are on this Zoom, nigga, you are on the kill.
Exactly. I'm about to leave meeting.
God,
oh, man.
This nigga ain't even get out the building.
Mm-mm.
Hey, get in the car. Click, click. Got him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, drive, motherfucker. He like, didn't I just get you out of jail?
Right.
Ain't that fucked up?
Yeah,
this nigga get
shit.
A nigga out of jail to get his own killer out of jail.
Ain't that some shit?
Yeah. That's terrible.
Yeah, man. That is the number one worry of motherfuckers coming out of jail. This killer's out of jail. He gonna kill me. Yeah, nigga. It happened to you. Sorry. And he ain't got no any shit. He about to die, so he got nothing to live for. Not even though he has nothing to live for, he don't even got no time to live.
Right.
He got no time on the clock. This shit is like fourth quarter 7 seconds to go. This is the final shot. This is Steph Curry, and he ain't gonna miss.
Nah, he ain't miss.
So I think you called this too.
What?
We talked about this last week. Said, you know, Sack, is Sack's going to die?
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, that was a, that was evident. You know, any snitch on Power got to die. If it ain't Tariq.
You know, it's funny, man. I looked on the IMDb. I didn't realize it, and maybe it was just how they had it. Sax has been on every episode of Power.
Yeah, he's the longest running cast member.
Wow. The Kenan Thompson of Power.
Right, yeah, across the shows, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, yeah.
You know, I saw that one. I actually saw what's Tariq real name in real life?
Michael Rainey.
Yeah, I saw him post a post of Sax, like it was like a tribute. So I was like, ah, oh, shit, Sax dead. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, he did it before. He did it before.
He did it before I saw it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So yeah, I didn't watch it till like Saturday night or some shit. Mm-hmm, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
So I knew Sax was gonna die. I didn't know how. So as soon as I saw it, I was like, let me go watch this shit before I go any further. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So Sax gone. Oh, and I did want to commend, speaking of good acting on Succession, I did want to commend Method Man on his emotional acting. Now, you know what I'm saying? I ain't saying it's Oscar worthy, but his damn was way better than Issa Rae's first try at the cry.
Oh, you're about when his brother
shot? Yeah, when his brother, actually, when he got upset, when we found out Sax was the mole. His emotional response, that was legit. He had legit, his acting was legit. It wasn't, you know what I'm saying? You know, I commend Method Man on going there with his emotional acting. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? He went from Method Man to, you know, he could cry Davis on the screen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And Davis was almost one note for a very long time.
Mm.
And this gave Davis something to be emotional about. And I didn't know if he could pull it off. And shit, I wasn't appalled. I thought the nigga did a good job. And you know what I'm saying? I thought he really took a great leap in his acting profession with the emotional scene.
Gotcha. That's what's up. Mm-hmm. You know who else was? There was a funny little moment. It was just a funny mother moment. It was silly too. It was funny, but it was silly too, just how proximity wise. When Diana, right? We always go back and forth. When Diana gets out of jail and she's like, I want out the game. You know what I mean? Meanwhile, she's still in the fucking lane of the jail. She ain't even leave from in front of the jail. I'm trying to get out the game. I'm tired of this shit. Right. I'm thinking about transferring to Spelman so I can be off the grid. And then Monet was like, ah, off the grid, you upside your head. Now get in the car. And that little walk to the car. Oh, man, that was a funny ass moment. I had to rewind that shit. That shit was funny as shit. Mary had a couple funny moments, man. That and then this tastes good. I think she sipped my man's drink and stepped off. Right. You know, like it's a couple little, you know, couple joints. I'm trying to think anything else that I remember about this episode. Are we leaving anything else on the table? We talked about Drew, we talked about Diana, talked about Kane, Effie getting arrested twice, Braden with the YSL situation. They shook down the Ponzi scheme. Davis said, oh, so that was the other thing too, to that point. I didn't see the Michael Rainey post, but I definitely saw the Courtney Kemp post.
Mm-hmm.
So that, because I had a conversation, somebody was like, do you really think Sax is dead? And I was like, yeah, nah, I think he's dead. They had him bleeding out. You saw the bullet into, like, it looked like, you know, but this is Power, so he could come back, but I was like, nah. Then I started seeing the tribute. I saw that little tribute post.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, nah, he's gone. He's gone. And as much as he was annoying, you know, he was a mainstay of the show. And salute to that man. You know, actually, I'm gonna find out his real name. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They give him a proper send off. You know what I mean? He was holding it down for a while. Yeah. And
so I guess now we just left with Sack's long-faced girlfriend and Griselda.
Yeah. Shane Johnson. Salute to Shane Johnson. He's out of here. Oh, yeah. Jenny Sullivan, long-faced girlfriend. And Griselda. You saw Griselda. You talking about Columbo?
Yeah, Columbo.
Yeah.
You see, Sack's girlfriend always got the long face. It's always a problem.
Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do with her situation now. I mean, you know, they kind of, her whole connection to Sax kind of made her character somewhat interesting. Right. We're going to see what happens. any predictions before we get out of here?
Well, I mean, it's not the final season, so,
That's
you know
true.
What I'm saying? So, you know, they'll probably bring in a new investigator to be the nemesis, her sidekick, you know what I'm saying? Somebody to come take over the department. I'm your new commander, you know. Tariq St. Patrick is priority number one, you know, that type of shit. You know what I'm saying? And then he back in the, he ain't going to never get that goddamn trust. I don't even know how he got the trust to put in the goddamn investment anyway.
Right. How he moving it around. And who's doing it? Because where's Simon at? And I know Simon's lover got killed by Tariq. Did Simon get killed? What happened to Simon? Is he in jail?
Simon just got divorced from his lover. He probably in Miami on the yacht.
Oh, but they divested from Simon and put it over at Weston.
No, Simon wasn't on investment.
Oh, it was Elvin. Remember, it was Elvin.
Elvin was the dude who ran the trust.
Yeah, where Elvin been at?
Yeah, Trader Joe, nigga.
Damn. Oh, shit. Shout out to Elvin, man. Oh, man. Two things about Power before we go I've been seeing on the net. So, one, somebody sent me this whole little theory that I forgot, but it was like, yo, you know when people always try to do the knowledge with a show. Make sure y'all remember that Ghost left Angela's nephew in his will, and he didn't leave Tasha. So allegedly, Angela's nephew is left in the will, and in the last episode, not this one, but the last episode, when you saw Tariq in the alley and you saw the detective, I guess, undercover as a bum going through the garbage where he found the baggie with the sign on it to link everything. Allegedly, they're saying that's Angela's nephew.
That's the undercover.
As the undercover, so he might have some type of vengeance to get, which don't make no sense, because if Ghost dropped you off, got you right in the will, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what you got a problem with. Like, you got to eat. You should be cool. But I guess he wants to avenge the death of Angela or whatever. That's one of these little, that's a theory that I saw. And then, on some meme shit, I'm curious to know what you think. You know, we was talking about Davis and his range. There was a question saying, you got to get a lawyer. Shit is getting thick for you. Who you going with, Proctor or Davis? Who you got?
At this point, Davis. Proctor was kind of, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. Proctor went all the way down for the dirt.
Yeah, that's true.
He was just that's under duress. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's getting linked on. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Davis down for it all. Like, shit, nigga, put the cash in my safe, nigga. What we doing?
Yeah, come through with the duffel bag.
And just shut up. Like, let me do the talking.
Yeah.
Shit. I'm going with Davis.
Yeah, it is. All right, bet. Done deal. All right, shit. That's it. We'll be back next week. You know, same bat channel. Same bat time. And until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.